And we're back with What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio, with information that can save your life. On this show, you will learn not only what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to understand and see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in, where doctors are killing people, lawyers are selling their clients' rights for cash, politicians are committing treason, etc., etc., etc. If you haven't yet done so, I strongly suggest you go to one of my websites, drcarly.com, or reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Print out the diagrams that I created in 1999 and listen to the explanation of me explaining them at a conference I did in Chicago in 2008. The first diagram is the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. If you have any family, friends, or medical minions who are trying to convince you, especially that things like vaccines are bad, do share it with them and see if they have anything to say. I'm sure they won't, because, of course, the truth is self-evident, that we are being depopulated, poisoned, and that our health is being destroyed on purpose. Always remember that only acting on the truth will set you free. Just knowing the truth does nothing. You have to take action. And especially in regards to parents, you must protect your children. That is your job as parents. And don't let anybody stop you from doing what you know is right for your children. Of course, as I always say, if I was you, I would get them out of school. I would be homeschooling them. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know something big's coming. And one of the first things they're going to do, of course, is take the children out of the schools, put them on buses, and ship them off to FEMA camps where parents won't even know where they are. So now is the time to take action. Negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible, of course. And so we have to start, you know, looking at who is behind the problem. And we know who they are, and those people have to be quarantined, the psychopaths that control the world, and stopped from their crimes against humanity. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them and helping them escape from the death and disease being caused by the medical devils, and I am giving holiday discounts for people that get consults between now and the holidays to try to help people out. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that my number has been disconnected or whatever, please have the operator dial the number for you, because, of course, strange things are happening. Let's see, I'm trying to multitask here. In case you didn't know, I'm not just the host of the show, I'm the board op as well, so it gets interesting at times. Okay. Very important that callers call in if they have any comments or questions during the show at 716-213-6816, or you can call in toll-free at 888-320-6151. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll-free number to listen to the show. And very important that callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on the show so that there's not any interference with whoever is speaking. Let me just remind listeners, I also have a show on republicbroadcasting.org every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. As of this point, I have now taken myself off these changing times. I am not going to do a show on that network anymore. Last week was my last show with J.B. Campbell. No surprise, all kinds of problems with the archives, trolls in the chat room, increasing problems with sound quality. So I'm not going to waste my time on that network anymore. but the archives for the shows are still up on thelightofdayradioshow.com, which is run by Sheldon Day, which I really appreciate. Click on Dr. Carly Archives, and you can find the archives for this station, which is on the main page. Republic Broadcasting is on the right, and These Changing Times is on the left. I also suggest highly that if you haven't yet done so, you go to the link section of ReversingVaccineInducedDiseases.com and check out the colloidal silver generator that I use and suggest to all my clients. Amazing way to keep yourself free of the disease that they're spraying on us that's being released from biowarfare labs. And the Silver Lungs Company now has two new products besides their generator, their silver, their soap. They now also carry a deodorant, and very wonderfully they carry a line of colloidal silver gel, which I received a bottle of and immediately developed a way to check it out. I was slicing vegetables with a mandolin and wasn't paying attention the way I should have, and I actually sliced the entire top of my knuckle off of my middle finger. Of course, you know, there's nothing to butterfly together. There was no skin. I was bleeding like, you know, if you saw that old Saturday Night Live skit of Julia Childs, you know, when she cut her hand cutting up a chicken. Oh, that's what it looked like, blood everywhere. But I'm a surgeon. I know what to do. But amazingly, within 10 days, of course, I had to stop the bleeding first. But within 10 days, by putting colloidal silver gel on constantly and then covering it with a bandage, the wound is entirely healed at this point. So I am very, very impressed with this product. Okay, so that's the intro. On today's show, the answer to what's ailing America is going to be vaccine-induced deaths are always covered up. And I'm waiting for two mothers to call in who happened to contact me in the last week. You know, a lot of synchronicity going on in my life. I just happened to do as my last newsletter, and you can sign up for the newsletter that I write for, the American Survival Newsletter, that is also on the bottom of the links page of ReversingVaccineInducedDiseases.com. It's put together by Wendy Wilson and myself and a number of others write for this newsletter every week, and you can sign up for free. And there's a husband and wife who are survivalists that also write for this newsletter, and you need this information, people. But as it turns out, just last Tuesday, I submitted my 22nd newsletter for this American Survival Newsletter, entitled What's Ailing America? Never-Ending Atrocities Involving Vaccines. And it was about an amazing article that investigative journalist Christina England from the UK has published on backtruth.com. She actually found a police sergeant in Australia who came forward to state that not only was he damaged from the hepatitis B vaccine that he was forced to take, or, you know, basically talked into taking. But he also has put it out into the public that they actually teach the police officers, prosecutors, etc., to cover up deaths from vaccines. And the name of the article that you can get, as I said, on backtruth.com is called Brainwashed Police Ignore Vaccine Injuries. Police Officer Savage and Christina will be my guests on republicbroadcasting.org next Sunday, November 25th. That's going to be a must-hear show. Okay, there's the music. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where my answer today is vaccine-induced death is always covered up. And I was talking before the break about this outstanding article written by Christina England on backtruth.com entitled Brainwash Police Prosecute Parents to Protect Vaccines, and that this ex-police sergeant, Chris Savage, of course, you know, once you start telling the truth, you know, it's funny how things happen to your career, but this man has come forward and is, you know, the information he's given is being spread all over the world. In fact, he's actually written a statement, which is on that website, in regards to what he has experienced when parents claim that their dead babies just got vaccinated before they're all of a sudden dead. And, in fact, you know, there's retribution. How dare you blame the vaccine? You know, well, now we're going to have to go after you even harder. That's pretty much the way it goes. And let's see. This is what Sergeant Savage says in the article. When a baby dies suddenly from so-called SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome, the parents become subjects of an investigation by medical staff and first response police. If either of those find anything suspicious, then detectives become involved. If both parents have a similar version that is credible, they will most likely not face prosecution. However, if there are inconsistencies in their stories, then the police look further into the matter. And, of course, this becomes a big problem during interrogation. Imagine your child was just found dead. You're going to be extremely beside yourself with grief. And they have certain traps that they do. Like, especially they'll ask you if you shook your child. Well, if I found my child dead in the child's crib, you better believe I would shake the child, trying to, like, get them to, you know, respond. If I know CPR, I'd start doing CPR. But it's really amazing what he reveals in this article, that they use that shake word. And if you say, yes, I shook my child, then all of a sudden, you have a problem. It's not a matter of you shook the child to try to revive the child. They're just looking for you to use that word. It's pure evil. And, in fact, he figured it out for himself, especially, as I said, because he had been damaged by a hepatitis B vaccine himself. And I've spoken to this police officer. He's an honest, you know, just very brave and wonderful man who wants to get the word out as to what's going on in regards to the parents that are being tormented when their children are vaccine damaged and die or have some other terribly serious complication, which hopefully the moms that are supposed to call in will get through and will tell you their stories. And if they can't get through, I will tell you their stories. But I would much rather have them tell you, because it's really quite amazing. So very important for you to check out that article on backtruth.com. And actually, I've decided I'm going to start a blog, just another thing on my list of things to do. But this way I can post my articles in one place. So I'm hoping to do that soon. Now, some other very important things that I mentioned in this latest newsletter, Never-Ending Atrocities Involving Vaccines. And if you send me an email, I will reply to you and put it as an attachment. You know, I always say that the newsletter I just wrote is my most important newsletter, but they're all important because they all have such important information. And one of the things that I also exposed in this newsletter is some good news, that there's a landmark case in the UK involving a woman who was wrongly accused for killing her baby when the baby was actually murdered by bioweapon vaccines. And this was reported in independent.co.uk/news. jailed for a crime you didn't commit, landmark case could be costly for UK. This is a miracle that it's coming forward that, you know, this woman who was wrongly accused for killing her baby, in fact, it was the vaccines. So little dribs and drabs of truth are starting to come out, but we have to get it out there big time because we have to stop this. When these two women, who both called me this week, told me what had happened to their children, I mean, there's no tears left. I can't even tell you the nightmare that they have gone through, and just for me to even hear it makes me sick. However, it also pumps me up because, of course, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's very important work because this genocide must be stopped. Another very important link that I give in this article is, let's see, another excellent article written by Christina England, which you can find on backtruth.com. And this is what it's titled, AMA Compulsory Vaccine Trials. Guess what, people? The American Medical Association recently published a paper proposing the introduction of a new law to force you and your children into experimental vaccine trials against your wishes. Your only way out of this directive would be to sign an opt-out form. So, I had reported on the show a few months ago that they have now decided they're no longer going to use chimpanzees to experiment on because, you know, different animal rights groups like PETA are basically constantly complaining about this torture of the poor animals, not to mention how expensive it is. So they're going to use your children instead. And if this doesn't upset you, then you must be dead. That's all I can say. And yes, they do allow you to opt out, but I can assure you that you're going to be pressured to opt in. And if you're getting any quote-unquote benefit from the government, such as food stamps or whatever, you're going to opt in or you're going to lose your benefits because that's how these psychopaths operate. So just imagine that you are enforced into an experimental vaccine trial. The experimental vaccine kills your child, and then you mention that there's an obvious connection there, and next thing you know, you're charged with murder and go to jail for the rest of your life. This is happening every day in this country. For some reason, you know, and it's really amazing. They're still talking about this steroid tainted with mold that's been created by a compounding pharmacy that's been injected into many people all over the United States. And I just heard this morning that 32 people have died. 32 people. Well, 200,000 are admitted to having been killed by the pharmaceutical drugs that are prescribed correctly, and that was in an article posted in Vanity Fair, which I've talked about on the show, called Deadly Medicine. I believe it was about a year and a half ago. So 200,000 people dying from drugs prescribed properly. No problemo, okay? But we're going to have a problem with this company making compounded steroids to shoot in people's backs for pain. Now, first of all, injecting steroids into people's backs is insane. Steroids is one of the most dangerous drugs there is. They give it for everything because vaccine-induced autoimmunity is rampant. You know, there's autoimmunity of pretty much every organ, your skin, you know, everything you can imagine. And so they always give steroids because it stops the autoimmune attack. Of course, it also shuts down your T cells, and you're more likely to get cancer, and you're more likely to get cataracts, and you're more likely to get adrenal shutdown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But watching television, as I do, and this is research, I consider watching these cable news networks and different shows that they do as research to report to you what's going on, because I know many of you, probably most of you, don't watch cable news because you know it's all lies, and you're more, you know, interested in listening to internet radio to get facts from people who have much more credibility. So I commend you for that. But you also have to know what the brain-dead sheep are being fed. And I figured it out immediately. As soon as I heard that this pharmacy that had created this steroid concoction was a quote-unquote compounding pharmacy, I immediately knew that the reason this was being done, in fact, I suspect that this compounding pharmacy in Massachusetts is probably a CIA front, because most compounding pharmacies, they don't deal with steroids. They don't mix together other prescription drugs. What they do is get a prescription, usually from a naturopath or a natural doctor. Excuse me, here goes the awning. I don't know how they're doing that. And especially with women that are getting natural steroids, you know, steroids made out of plants, they'll do certain saliva tests and come out with a very accurate dose of how deficient you are in whatever steroid. I'm sorry, slap my face, in whatever natural hormone, progesterone or estrogen, and they will write a prescription for you and send it to the compounding pharmacy. And then the compounding pharmacy will come up with a solution or a cream of what the naturopath has written for you. Now, that means that the compounding pharmacies are actually a big-time competitor of Big Pharma. Because people that are going to the natural doctors that don't want their toxic synthetic estrogens, etc., are going to be going to the compounding pharmacies to get those prescriptions filled. And so they needed an excuse to crack down on the compounding pharmacies. So they created one who was actually producing this drug, methylprednisone acetate, and the vials were tainted with fungal spores, which gave the people in 19 states fungal meningitis. Pretty creepy thing. Imagine having fungus growing in your brain, okay? And as it turns out, in this article I'm reading from, page 9A of CharlotteObserver.com, November 15th, 2012, they actually admit in here that an inspection of this company, the NECC in Massachusetts, New England Compounding Center in Framingham, and the Massachusetts Board over 10 years ago identified contamination in the very same drug at issue in the current outbreak. 10 years later, we're in the midst of an unthinkable worst-case scenario. Does that ring any red flags, or, you know, does that raise any red flags for you folks? 10 years ago, they found the problem. No, I suspect 10 years ago they created the problem and they were, you know, figuring out how this whole thing was going to go down, and now they caused it. We have 32 people dead, which led to congressional hearings that just occurred this week. And, of course, Barry Cadden, a co-founder of this New England Compounding Center in Framingham, Massachusetts, briefly appeared before the House Energy and Commerce Oversight Subcommittee hearing, and in a dramatic moment during the televised proceeding, he took the fifth. He will not discuss his role in this debacle. So, isn't that special? So, of course, we have another major distraction. You know, while we're, you know, hearing about a CIA director, Petraeus' dalliances, and now there's another general sending out emails with pictures of him without his shirt on. And, boy, it's really amazing, I mean, how these boys, they just can't keep their pants zipped, and yet they're put in these very important positions within our government. And as we've talked about, the global pedophile situation, and I've had Nick Bryant of franklinscandal.com on my show a few times. We know that, you know, the high-level traitors in the District of Criminals, many of them are pedophiles. they're taped and filmed, and that's how they're basically controlled. And we're worried about General Petraeus and this bimbo, you know? Seems kind of strange. I think there's something else going on, and, you know, there's a distraction happening right now. And we'll see where this all goes. Okay. Let me just see. And let me not forget to mention again that next Sunday, the 25th, on my show on republicbroadcasting.org from 4 to 6 p.m., Christina England and this very brave police sergeant will be my guest on the show. Okay, so let me just see quickly. I think I mentioned everything I wanted to mention. We have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I'm not sure which one. I'm expecting two callers. Can you give your first name?
Yes, ma'am. This is Lindsay.
Okay, Lindsay. Okay, and rather than me giving a version of your story, I think it would be much more powerful for you to tell your story. Take as much time as you need. If you hear some music, it means that we're going into a break. So just, you know, stop for a few minutes and the break's, you know, short, and then we'll continue right after the break. And Lindsay's story, people, if you're, you know, not paying attention, I want you to sit up straight in your chair right now. I want you to listen to this. I want you to tell everybody you know. If anybody that you talk to about vaccines being safe tells you that, you know, the doctors would never do this knowingly or anything else, you have them listen to the archive of this show, because just imagine being in her shoes. Take it away, Lindsay.
Okay, I'll start back in October of last year. I found out I was pregnant. And 2 weeks later, my husband passed away. He was in an accident. So I had a high-risk pregnancy and went through the pregnancy, like, treating my child like he was gold, you know, because he was the only tie I had to my baby, my husband. And he was born. He was born 2 months early, but he was perfect. You know, he breathed room air from day one. He breastfed. He was just perfectly 4-pound angel. He was perfect. He got to leave the hospital right away. There was no issues. Then when he was gestationally supposed to be born, he was only 2 months old, but he was technically day one. The pediatrician insisted that he go ahead and have his 2-month shot, that he absolutely needed him because he was at higher risk and yada, yada, yada. Now, mind you, at this point, he was teeny tiny, and they were insisting that I give him weight gainer because he was so tiny. They loaded him up with this 2-month shot, you know, the regular, I don't know what all they are, but the decaps and the polios and the, basically a whole lot of poison.
Let me just ask you a question. And they had given him the hepatitis B at birth when he wasn't even supposed to be born yet for 2 more months.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
go ahead. Yes, ma'am. And that was without my permission. That was down in the NICU. They just did that without my permission. I wasn't even given an option. They just went ahead and gave him that vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
So after 2 months of vaccinations, he consistently, like, ran. He was fine. I mean, he acted fine, minus the fact that we kind of joked around, and now in hindsight, you know, it's really sad. This was only two months ago, August 24th, my son passed away. So it's all really fresh. But we joked.
Wait, I just want to get the timeline. That was at 4 months of age, correct?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. He passed away at 4 months of age.
4 months of age, but only 2 months in terms of when he was supposed to be born. Exactly. I want to drum that home because this is insane. These children aren't even supposed to be out of the womb yet. And like you said, he's a tiny little thing. And I always like to point out, and this holds true for pet owners too, if you've got a tiny dog, they're giving your chihuahua the same dose of vaccine that they're giving a St. Bernard. The same thing holds true with babies. You know, you can have a preemie that's born 3-4 months premature. They give that baby the same dose as they give, I just heard recently there was a baby born at 20 pounds. So that baby's going to get the same dose as your little baby got. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I have my son, I had previously a premature baby, and I had a wonderful pediatrician that actually did not vaccinate, like, while she was considered premature and didn't give her tons of the ones that babies nowadays are getting. I mean, she gave her very select few, and even now, in hindsight, I'm just shocked at what they're doing in these vaccines. But so anyway, we kind of joked around about it. His leg would do this really rapid, like, vibrating thump. And we called him Thumper, you know, from Bambi. It's like, it was cute. And I called the pediatrician and asked her at this appointment, what was this? Was this something to be worried about? And she said, no, it's no big deal, nothing at all. His nervous system's probably not fully developed from being a premature baby. And I kind of took that and said, okay. And then I started noticing he was running a really low-grade fever. Like, persistently, like, it just never really went away. It was just low, like, always, like, 99. I mean, he never acted like he was sick or anything, but it was always a low-grade fever. And I called the pediatrician and postponed his 4-month shot by 2 weeks. And I said, listen, he's been running a low-grade fever now, like, that I've documented for, like, 2 weeks now. And, you know, he's not acting sick or anything, so I'm not going to dose him up with antibiotics or do anything like that, but I would like to postpone his vaccine. Okay, no problem. So we postponed him for 2 weeks. So he was actually, you know, over 4 months at this point, but only by 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 2 extra weeks with my child just because of my intuition. But the pediatrician's office, and I said, I'm not sure that he should be getting a vaccine because he's still wearing a fever. And she said, no, it's even more reason, you know, it's a low grade, it's not a big deal, blah, 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 give them a shot. And when we go to leave, you know, he was acting really lethargic, really sleepy. And
okay, please let me comment. I need to comment to that statement that this monster, this idiot made to you. If a child has a low grade fever, you as a mom knew he's already fighting something. Why are we going to overload his immune system and inject him with a whole syringe full more of viruses, formaldehyde, and all this other stuff? But you see, this is what always happens. Your mom's intuition is basically just shot down by these white coats who intimidate you into thinking they know more than you do. And they don't.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on. There's the music. We're going to a break. It's a short break. We'll be back and we'll continue from there. And thank you so much for calling in. I'm really glad you did. We'll be right back, folks. Listen up.
Ada.
And we're back with Blood Telling America, where our answer today is vaccine-induced deaths are always covered up. We have caller Lindsay on the line, and she's continuing to tell her story. But before you go forward, I just want to let you know, because we were talking before the show, and I went into my massive library of books on vaccine-induced diseases, and there's actually a book entitled Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis, Are Parents Being Falsely Accused? And this was co-written by Harold Buttram, MD, as well as Christina England, the research journalist that is mentioned in the newsletter I sent you. And they have a whole chapter in this book entitled Increased Hazards of Vaccines in Preterm Infants. Now, of course, the pediatricians are just told to do this. Their own intuition should be telling them this is insane, but they just do what they're told because they know if they don't, they're going to have a problem with their medical license And obviously, the license is more important than the children. But please continue on with what you were saying, Lindsay. I think we were up to the point where you were taking him in. You had delayed the vaccine by 2 weeks because he had the low-grade fever. You gave him the vaccine 2 weeks late, and then you were mentioning how he was very lethargic and such when you left the room. Take it away. Are you there? Okay, we just lost Lindsay. How strange. Let me see if I can get her back.
Hi, you've reached Lindsay Pelton. I'm not here right now. Leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks and have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hi, Lindsay. You got cut off. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I had you muted, and then when I hit the unmute, it ended the call for some reason.
Okay.
No, I was saying, well, prior to him receiving his second set of shots, I had mentioned to the doctor about his leg thumping, and I was, you know, teasing and saying that it was thumper, and her saying it was no big deal. And so she said, well, you know, if it still concerns you later, you know, we'll look more into it. It could be seizures. It could be other things. And I'm thinking, okay. My first pediatrician, who was an amazing woman, would have sent me immediately. You know, there wouldn't have been a hesitation. We would have been investigating why something was going on.
Did she retire? Is that why you no longer used her?
No, I live in a different state.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
I live in a different state. So he received his second set of shots, and we left the pediatrician's office, and he was so sleepy. Like, he didn't cry or act like anything was wrong. Like, he was just really tired, kept, like, napping all day. And finally, I guess around 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, we both fell asleep. We co-slept. I co-slept with all of my children.
As many parents do, especially if you're a nursing mother, because the child nurses every couple of hours, and so if you're there with the baby in bed, it's much easier to just draw the infant to you and breastfeed them. And, of course, you'd been co-sleeping for the entire length of the child's life. I just want to point that out because that's going to become an issue shortly in your story. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. There was only one night that he didn't sleep with me out of the entire 4 months and 2 weeks. And he actually slept with my mom that night. She co-slept with him that night. We went to bed about 12:30 in the morning. And my alarm clock, my phone died.
Press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4.
Continue. Just ignore that because I had called you back. Go ahead.
Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4.
Okay, hopefully that will go to sleep now. Okay, go ahead.
Are you still there? If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record.
You're gonna have to stop
press
3 it. It's on your
to continue
end.
Recording where you left
yeah,
off.
I can't
press
stop.
4.
Okay, let me just disconnect you and then please call right back.
Sorry, you're having trouble. Your message has been sent. Goodbye.
What a crock of crap. All right. Hopefully she'll call right back in. Because this is an amazing story and the child ends up dead. Okay, go ahead, Lindsay. Sorry for that little voicemail problem. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have blackouts on my windows, and my alarm clock is my cell phone. And at that point, my son was my alarm clock, because every, you know, 2 or 3 hours, we'd wake up to feed. And I didn't wake up because my son had died in the night, and my son hadn't woken me up. And I woke up, and I didn't realize what time it was at that point. And I woke up, went to use the restroom, came back to bed, and looked at the clock and realized that it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I went to China. He wasn't alive anymore. 12 hours after he received his vaccine. And I picked him up, and my dad was in the room next door and started yelling for him, and I was just holding him. And
let me clarify something. Let me clarify something. When you picked him up, he wasn't laying underneath you, correct? He was laying
beside you. He was on the far side of the bed, really far away. Usually he's closer to me. Actually, we would sleep very snuggled with each other, but for some reason this night he was further away.
Okay.
Anyway, my dad called the police and ambulance, and it was strange because he felt like he was, like, warm still, and he was so pink. He didn't really have, he was mottled, like, with reddish coloring on him, but he still looked very much alive, but sleeping. And the police came.
Wait, did the ambulance try to resuscitate him?
No, ma'am.
No?
No, ma'am, the police women got there and took him from me, and they wouldn't let me see. I don't know if they did or not. Honestly, I don't think they did. At that point, my house became a crime scene, and they separated me from my mom and my dad, and I had, like, 20 cop cars blocking the street. They took, like, my linens off my bed. They took his food. They took all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what out of my house. And
so immediately,
asked, you know,
immediately you became a suspect. They wouldn't even let you hold your son before they took him away. They just basically stuck him in whatever emergency vehicle and took him off to the hospital. And what happened when you got to the hospital?
No, they didn't. They took him straight to, like, I guess the coroner. And they asked me, they said, would I be willing to ride down with him to the police station in the cop car and answer some questions? And I told them, I said, am I under arrest? Because I have 2 other children. I have to explain that their father and now their brother, all within a year apart, have died. I have to explain to the other 2 kids I have to get from school. So if I'm not under arrest, then no, I will not go. Because any question they could possibly have answered, I answered for them.
And you had told them that the child had just gotten vaccines less than 12 hours earlier, correct?
Yes, ma'am. 12 to 14 hours prior,
okay.
He had received his vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him, I guess, to do an autopsy, and I still don't know any information. It's still considered an open investigation.
No results of the autopsy.
No, they released his body to me so that I could have a service and have a funeral home, embalm him so that, you know, I could spend some time with him since I wasn't able to.
All right. This was just an unbelievable story. And the fact that there has been no autopsy results really is a gigantic red flag. But, of course, I've also covered another story in Jamaica where in a year after the child obviously died from vaccine, the coroner still doesn't know what caused it. Okay, this is a little bit longer of a break, Lindsay, but please stay on. It's about 5 minutes, and we'll continue this this amazing story that will hopefully help so many other parents. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Hi there, friends. My name is Alex. You might know me better as the Mouth of the South, or Bullhorn Bubba. When I get home from a hard day of fighting globalist scumbags,